Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heal My Voice, a show that is dedicated to providing information and engaging in conversations that support women in finding their own answers. Empowering women through the healing of their voices is our mission. Well, my name is Andrea Hyland, and I am the founder of Heal My Voice, and I'm the host of the show today. And in the Heal My Voice projects, we create environments for empowering women and girls to heal a story in their life, and to connect with their inner authority and innate wisdom. This is the wisdom they were born with that has been covered up by trauma, grief, loss, and change, and even experiences where they were told to sit down and be quiet, or that their energy in the room was just too much. Well, in the Heal My Voice projects, we believe healing an old story leads women to a richer expression of their unique gifts and leadership and gives them access to all of their wisdom. From book circles that are created with women in community, to individual support, to a letter writing circle with women who reside in prison and women who reside in the free world, our programs are growing every day. And the first two book circle projects will be available soon. Fearless Voices, True Stories by Courageous Women, and Empowered Voices, True Stories by Awakened Women. Both were written in communities of women who shared vulnerability and power and healed a story in their lives together. So stay tuned for the release of Fearless Voices in April 2012. And for information about projects and books and sponsor opportunities with the organization Heal My Voice, you can go to the website healmyvoice.org. So on the Heal My Voice radio shows, there are conversations that support women and men in empowering themselves and others. And Heal My Voice has a featured show called The Author's Corner on Friday mornings at 8:30 a.m. Pacific Time. And today's guest is Charlene Proctor, the author of The Oneness Gospel. Well, I'm going to read a few things to bring you into who Charlene is and a little bit about The Oneness Gospel, but I want to just say that I'm so excited that Charlene is here because I've known Charlene for a number of years, and she is an amazing woman who is bringing so much love and just embracing oneness in her life that is impacting people all over the world. She's an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking and a Diksha facilitator trained by the Oneness Guides from Fiji and India. She's the best-selling author of Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking, and the Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 Affirmations that Change Everyday Problems into Moments of Potential. Her Midwestern sensibility and spiritual approach to self-empowerment has helped thousands awaken to their divine magnificence within. And I love the question that's on her website: what will empower us and sustain our relationships in the new age? And that's really the question that she poses in The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and the Divine Human in You. So, Charlene, there's so much more I could read and say about you, but I want to bring you in and have a conversation about this magnificent topic. So welcome to the show.
And thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here. Chatting about women and empowerment and books and whatever our coffee klatch unfolds today.
I love that. And I always tell people that this is a conversation between like two girlfriends sitting down with their cup of coffee. And I have lots of questions I want to ask, but like any two girlfriends, if I ask a question and Charlene says, no, I want to share this with you, we're going to go in a different direction. So,
well, we need to catch up. So
We do.
We do.
So
we haven't seen each other in a couple years. So
I know. All right. So let's get right into this. And just let me ask you, how did you come up with the idea for the Oneness Gospel?
Well, I was very interested in these Oneness teachings that were migrating over from India and Fiji. And while I was learning about them, and I can talk a little bit more about how that chapter unfolded in my life, I discovered that they are very, very congruent with the teachings of Jesus because they're very simple, they're interfaith, and they're universal. And the time we live in, as you know, is so polarized. These lessons are so unity-oriented, they're just beautiful with regards to personal transformation and how we integrate our spirituality in an everyday sense. So that's kind of a general way that I came up with the idea. I was very interested in an East meets West piece. The East India has a whole lot to say about Westerners and how we view the world and how we suffer and how we manage our suffering and so forth. And I think that having been to many workshops and spiritual programs over the course of many, many years, we still have not wrapped our heads around why we suffer and how we move through that to have these big breakthroughs that lead us to higher levels of awareness, that lead us to this enlightenment, which seems to be this reward we have at the end of these big processes. And, you know, Westerners are just so driven to get through the processes. You know, we have 10 steps to, you know, this and 14, you know, things we need to do to reach prosperity or feel better about ourselves or how we find joy and so forth. And we're very lineal in our thinking in that way. And we want the answers. And, you know, so this is an interesting piece for me to write with regards to a different way to view it, and then maybe going back and looking at some of the basics from the Christian tradition, and going back and looking at the works of Paramahansa Yogananda, who, as you know, was a wonderful person who had bridged the gap between Christian ideas and Christianity and the Eastern principles. So I did spend a lot of time with his works, and so it was a very big research piece for me, this book, which took a couple of years to write. So I'm hoping people like it and call me and talk about it. Hopefully we'll talk more today about it.
Well, I'm really struck first thing by you talking about something that has been really, well, so much what you said is near and dear to my heart. But, you know, we haven't talked in a few years, and what happened for me in 2009 was I really felt this deep calling to release the life I had been living in Baltimore, and my husband had died, and so I sold everything in the house or gave it away, sold my house, and my daughter, my youngest daughter and I came to California, which was her dream that she had told me about several years earlier. But the response from many people was, well, what was I going to do here? Where was I going? How could I even be doing this in my early 50s? Because this wasn't like, I was jumping off the path of some path. Like, where are we going? Where are we trying to get to? Where's the, you know, it was just like, it just didn't fit for many people. But I was following this calling, and I wanted more of a connection to spirit. Now, people don't have to move across the country or to another part of the world to do that. That was just my particular experience. But the whole idea of what you're talking about there, of like, okay, take the class. Now I'm there. Mm-hmm. Now I'm enlightened. Now I'm whatever. I've reached some destiny.
Yeah, but you know what? And just this goes to your story that you're just telling, is that there's also a path that leads you to a higher level of awareness or to making this change or to being more conscious or to being more awakened, and that is the personal suffering. And, you know, it's so vital. It's something that we cannot live without in the human condition. I truly believe that it's necessary, and it'll probably be there for, you know, practically forever until the world ends, and that'll be a long time, in my opinion. I think a step towards our personal growth is always, always our willingness to release the past and choose this present moment. When we surrender to that process, we don't really know where it's going to lead. And I'm sorry for the phone here. So
I think
the
spirit was just telling you, absolutely, this is an
important
point.
Yeah, there you
point.
Go, confirmation.
Right.
But, confirmation. You know, with any family, there's always some suffering, and I experienced that too in my own family. When we are watching somebody carrying a tremendous burden of magnitude, whether it's drug addiction or alcoholism or cancer, wherever somebody is suffering, or just simply watching somebody spiral into some personal hell, that is not easy. And especially with women, when there's a lot of emotional suffering in a family, we take that on as our own, don't we? Because that's what we're designed to be. We're the connectors. We are the facilitators of community. So we see someone in our environment that's close to us suffering, we take that on as our own. And what happened to me before I was led to the oneness teachings was I began to get very sick. We had some tragedies in our house, and I began to suffer with a back injury. The back, you know, is all about support. And when you are piling too much on your shoulders, what goes out? Your back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had developed some cancer, and I had thought I had an aneurysm because I had paralysis in my face, and all these things were just layered and layered and layered, and I was not able to fully digest these traumas that had occurred in our household. Well, what happens is that these things kind of get stuck in your energy layers of the koshas in the body, and then they begin to manifest as disease. And all of us in the self-help community know this.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I and all of the great many other teachers on this planet teach people this all the time. And here we are experiencing this very thing on our own. We know how to process it in our minds. We know the right attitude. We know how to manage these dynamics and energies. But here we are, a person who has to learn this the hard way. So what happened for me in my journey, which led me to this material, kind of like you were led to California to discover your path, was I heard a lot about this concept of Diksha and the oneness blessing and this energetic transmission of grace that happens between masters and students, and that it had great healing properties. And at the time, I was ready to try just about anything. And so I was very interested in that, and trying to clean out what was sitting in these energy layers in my body. And I had received a blessing like this from Sai Ma. Do you remember Sai Ma, Lakshmi
yeah.
Devi?
Mm-hmm.
We went
mm-hmm.
to some programs of hers, and I had received blessings from her, and also from Amma Amritanandamayi, you know, the hugging saint, the lady
mm-hmm.
that shows up, just hugs people and just downloads this amazing energy from the matrix into you. It knocks you flat on the floor. And I had worked with that for a while and began to get more interested in the Eastern India perspective on healing and spirituality. But my takeaway value in the beginning from all this was that it felt like the suffering was beginning to be released and my heart was opening, and I was able to pound more love in and let more out. So, you know, this whole healing part and working in conjunction with writing a book is always so interesting, because it feels in some ways that when you write the book, you're kind of writing it for yourself. It's part of your process.
Absolutely.
To heal yourself, but, you know, you're pulling everyone else along for the ride. And,
well, let me stop you for 1 second.
Yeah.
And just to say, because I know that just in case someone's not picking it up through the conversation, what is the oneness blessing? Like, how would you describe the oneness blessing, and what is Diksha? Because I know, I mean, I'm hearing you say it, and I know what it is, and I've experienced it, but if you could just define it for, you know, for the listeners.
I would define the oneness blessing, or Diksha, as a transfer of intelligent sacred energy. And what it does is it initiates a person into a journey into some kind of higher state of conscious awareness. When somebody gets a blessing, sometimes they experience this oneness with the presence meaning the divine or God or however you may define God in your own wisdom tradition. And what this energetic transfer is, which is a hands-on blessing, usually given on the top of a person's head, it's meant to shift this perception that we are separate from the divine, that our separation from the divine and from all that is in the universe is a total illusion. And anybody can receive a blessing. It has nothing to do with a religion. And the people in India and the masters that are more evolved at transferring this energy say that this energy actually, if not immediately, but over time, causes some kind of neurobiological shift in the brain. And it helps people quit having this chatter, this constant mind jumping like a pack of wild monkeys from limb to limb. Oh, we have to do this, and this is our task list, and now I'll spend the next 10 minutes worrying about what my mother said 10 years ago, or I'm worrying about, you know, what's going to happen 3 days from now. It's a problem that we have a lot in the West. Our minds are overactive, and the blessing slows that down. People become clearer. They are more open to love and joy. And it's got something to do the way they are activating the frontal lobes in the brain with this energetic transfer that comes through the head. So overall, people, and when I give the blessing to people, I always have people calling me and saying, oh, my gosh, I have never slept better in my life than I did the night that I went to bed after you gave me the blessing. It's very calming and peaceful, and there's a lot of different reactions, you know, people have. We can talk about if we have time, but that's what the blessing is. And the difference between maybe long ago people giving the blessing who were holy masters and today is that these people out in India, Amma and Bhagavan, are teaching all of us how to give this to each other. Because their goal is to instigate some sort of massive consciousness-raising experience for everyone on the planet. And they believe that this blessing is going to be instrumental in making that happen. So I thought, wow, this is something, not just a download from the Matrix that I can experience, but we can share this energy and learn how to work with it and use it because it's a total gift of grace. And it's really just the presence coming through us. And there's some people who are very powerful Diksha givers. And it's I've worked with it for a while. And when I wrote the book, I was completely intrigued with it. I have a license plate that says Diksha. I'm the only one in Michigan that has it. So that's a little bit about the blessing.
Well, what is grace? You know, it's something that I heard you mention the word grace, and it's one of those words that I've actually seen on Facebook, people asking each other, you know, what do you think grace means? What does it mean to you or whatever? So I'm curious, what, you know, how would you define it and why is it important?
To me, grace is the holy presence. That's
okay.
Basic. It's the holy presence. It's an experience. It is your primary connection to the source. It's like this this comforting place where you know you're taken care of, the place where life has meaning. It's the presence. And to me, love is the foundation of grace, and that is truly the activity of the divine. It's divine love helping you and healing you like a mother it's this comfort and warmth that kind of folds you into her lap. And the thing about Grace is that there's absolutely no effort required on our behalf. We might resist it, maybe, which doesn't have any bearing on anything, but it's like free. It's on the house. It's available to everybody. It's that energy that's always there, but we often don't recognize it. We have to allow it into our experience. It's really not a concept. It's just the holy presence. That's how I would describe it.
Well, it's amazing because even you describing it, I just feel it entering into my body. I just feel the love coming into my body. And I know that's also because of the Diksha that you work with all the time. I really think, Charlene, you walk with that throughout the world. And I even felt that right before the interview started, the conversation started. I was telling you, it was about 15 minutes before we even connected on the phone right before, and I just felt this whole love activation. And so Grace is your description of it. I can really feel it. Thank you.
Our jobs, actually, as healers or spiritual writers or just human beings on the planet, is to learn how to project that. This is not something that is only limited to a few people. Grace is not something that you have to go to a church to get. This is about lighting up as an individual on the planet and just remembering our connection. That's what the presence is. And this whole bit about falling from grace, a lot of religions do preach that message, falling from grace. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It means that you have just forgotten your connection to the divine presence. And when you come back into grace, it doesn't mean you chose the right religion or you did something totally amazing to impress God. Mm-hmm. It just means that you have remembered who you are as a being of light on the planet, and you've just simply remembered your connection. So, the way I look at it is we all have to learn how to resonate with this all the time. And I know that's a tough, tall order given the life that we lead every day with all the human challenges. But more often, we have to remember our connection and just vibrate with it. You could go to the grocery store and just take a minute, if you think about it, while you're waiting in line, and just put yourself and align yourself with that energy. Waiting in line, I've experimented with this, and it's really fun to do. And the people, in a matter of minutes, have changed their vibration because your vibration has changed. I remember a few years ago, I had just done a program at a bookstore, and it was a Diksha giving session, and it was a very intense prayer and, one of our typical things, and I gave the blessing. Andrea, I swear that after I gave the blessing to this one guy and I had taken a break and I was ready to leave the building, I looked at him and I could see light behind his eyes. He was just projecting light out of his eyes. He looked so refreshed, and that made me really happy. So on the way home, there's this really great store that sells strawberries and fruit, and it's just a really good grocery store. So I stopped in to buy some stuff for dinner, and I was waiting in the grocery line, and I was just must have still been in this energy, and the person that was checking me out in the line, the checkout lady, mm-hmm. And then the guy who was bagging the groceries turns to me and says, "I really want to bag your groceries," he said. "I just want to stand in your light." He said to me, and I'm like, there's something going on here, because this is just ordinary living. We don't have to be geniuses or, presidents of this or PhDs of that. We just have to remember our connection and hold that space. Mm-hmm. Really understand what that means, to hold that light and to be with it. And that's all we have to do to help uplift our communities. They're only, it's funny, and then I will be quiet because I'm talking too much. is the one thing they tell you in the Oneness University is it only takes one person to change a family. One person. If you could get one person in every family, and I mean multiply that by all your cousins and your mom's and dad's cousins, and, you know, I mean, that's a pretty big community of people, right, that you could reach, just one person awakening to that knowledge and that light. If we all could have enough mass quantity, can you imagine how different the world would be? This is like the objective of the Oneness movement. And I find that really, really important. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Well, you know, and I want to reflect too, and to say this so that the listeners understand that this is something for each of us. And I know, Charlene, both of us are ministers of spiritual peacemaking through James Twyman's Beloved Community. Mm-hmm. And it was, I would say that it was around 2006 when I was involved in the program there initially, that I would say that that was kind of a turning point for me in making a commitment to connect with God, Source, Spirit, whatever you want to call this oneness energy. And when I came to California, one of the things that I did was for about 10 months, I was going to a coffee shop almost every day, sitting and writing for a few hours every day. That was part of my routine. And I got to know the shop owner, and it's usually a place that's packed, but I would sit off in the corner and do this writing. And one day she came up to me, the shop owner, and said, "When you're here, it feels better in here."
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the first little reflection from the outer world that something that I was practicing was making a difference just by being there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other reflection I've had is that I started at one point to sit up at the counter and do some of the work that wasn't writing, but other work on the computer, and I would sit up at the counter kind of in the middle of everything, and there was a man who came up to me one day. He said, "People come in, and they kind of get zapped with love from you." And he would every once in a while say to me, "Hey, you just did it again, that one. You looked, you smiled, and look at him. He's walking out of here, like, with the, you know, off the ground or whatever." And so I want to say that to everyone, because you can do this. You can be this energy. So, Charlene, what types of sort of everyday practices can people do to awaken ourselves, to connect with this energy and be these lighthouses around the world?
I think the abstract answer mm-hmm. is to see the world as God sees it. That, to me, is like our overarching mantra, you know, to see each other and to see life as God sees it. Now, that's kind of abstract, right? I mean, how do we get up every day and go, "Oh, I'm going to drive my kids to school and somebody's sick and someone's bothering me, and how do I handle all this like God would?" I know it's really a tall order. But the concrete answer would be to learn how to center yourself. I always say positive thinking is the road to manifestation, and to learn how to vibrate your highest level thought and resonate with the pattern of the divine. That really makes more sense to most people. And when you do, through prayer or meditation or any activity that is consciously putting you in the arms of the divine, then you are raising your vibration to attract that which is that divine energy. So for me, my passion is ballroom dancing, and I travel all over the country now, and I'm in amazing shape. You should see me.
I saw you on your video. You look fantastic.
I feel so good. And I know that in some form, dancing is a form of prayer for me. It is sort of like me downloading this joy that comes from God through my body, and I am expressing that somehow. To me, that is actually a part of vibrating with the level of the divine. So everyone, my comment on that is that everyone's going to have a different thing. Some people go into fugue states. My mother is like this in the garden. She will be digging in this fragrant soil and sweating and enjoying the sun and planting, and this is her prayer. This is her meditation, and that is her time to be with God. And it lights her up. So I think it's also about practicing life a certain way as a joyful exercise. I mean, life isn't supposed to be all serious and full of suffering all the time. I mean, we have to just realize that there's so much here on the planet that is meant for us to play with. I mean, it's like a big laboratory. We're supposed to experience joy. It's not all supposed to be so awful and serious. And so find something, my message is to people, that lights you up, that you love, that gets you centered, that gets you in a place of appreciation for what God is providing. Be in a state of gratitude at least once a day for 10 minutes. I mean, to me, that's a form of prayer. I think that's part how we create a new reality, certainly for me, the way we learn how to connect, you know, with the presence.
I'm just like drinking all this in. I hope the listeners are doing the same thing, just really feel the beauty of the energy in the conversation here. You know, Charlene, we have about 15 minutes left, so I just want to take a pause for a minute before we talk about a few more things and have you let people know how they can buy the Oneness Blessing Gospel, I mean, how the Oneness Gospel is the name of the book, and to connect with you, what you have going on with it, because I saw on the show page, I just want to let people know that there are two website listings. One is the oneness gospel.com that specifically has information about the book, and then charleneproctor.com has all kinds of other things and information about the book too. So what would you like to share about how people can buy the Oneness Gospel and anything connected with that?
If they would like to just buy the book, the oneness gospel.com is a good place to go. We're doing a major book launch on April 24th. So if you go to that page, theoneisgospel.com, and you click at the link at the top of the page, there's all kinds of free gifts that you'll receive if you buy the book. But this book is already up on Amazon. It is on all forms of ebook. So whether you have a Sony reader or a Kindle or Nook or whatever, those are all available online. So even if you just Google the Oneness Gospel, you'll find a place to buy it from. But I would love, love, love for people to go to our main homepage, which is charleneproctor.com, mainly because we have done a television series called Your Journey to Joy. And this is a really wonderful thing for people to watch if you are not in a certain TV broadcast community, because it's running on Xfinity, which is Comcast. I don't know what you folks have in California, but it's the cable network. So if you go to charleneproctor.com, you'll see on our homepage the Your Journey to Joy TV series, and these are wonderful and beautiful lessons that are based upon the material in the Oneness Gospel. And they're great. You can watch them with your kids and really get something out of them. So we'd love people to stop off and watch those. And also, if they go to the book site, oneissgospel.com, or just email us, we'll send you a launch reminder and get you all squared away with the book.
Sounds good. I also want to say that there is... latest events And so Charlene is going to be on a variety of radio shows, and there's a blog tour and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is just the kind of energy I want to encourage people to go keep tapping into it. Listen to the interviews and even have it playing in the background, because I can feel it being on the call with you, Charlene, just the power of the divine connection that's here. So anyway, I want to encourage people to do that. I love the cover, too, I want to say. It's so beautiful. Just looking at the cover is awesome.
Is that incredible? I wanted something that looked like female birth process. Now that you see that, and I say that, we actually had a model we photographed who was a trapeze artist, and the first set of shots we got from her, she was so muscular. We had to shade it because her muscles were so huge. But this is a model that we hired to be in this prayer position that looked like she was birthing something to the higher power, which is really birthing herself.
Wow.
So there's a lot of powerful energy in this book, and I do want to mention this, and I just happened to think of this, but when I went to India, it's very difficult to get an audience with Bhagwan. He's the main guy out there, and when he shows up to do darshan, and actually I don't think he does anymore, it's anywhere from 30,000 to 100,000 people show up.
Wow.
It's insane. I mean, India is just crazy, and there's so many people that want to be in his energy, that want to receive his blessing. They will wait for days and days and days before he comes out to do this. Well, to make a long story short, we, as a small contingency of U.S. people, were there, and we actually got an audience with Bhagwan. There were only maybe 15 of us. To sit in a room with him, to be that close to him, to talk to him and to feel his energy was truly amazing. And Doug Bentley, who is one of the Dasas, or the oneness guides out in India, who travels all over the world and helps facilitate these programs, was there, and he was kind of our little ambassador that day. And he actually gave Bhagwan this manuscript, and he personally blessed it. Now, if you can imagine the chances of me being this ordinary person on this side of the world going all the way there to maybe meet with this person who is kind of the instigator of the oneness movement, and to have him personally put his energy into this manuscript by way of a hands-on blessing. My intention with that is to make sure that everybody that reads this book is receiving that energy as well.
Wow.
And so that was a phenomenal experience for me. I mean, I was just blown away that that even happened, because it wasn't even in my in field of intention.
Uh-huh.
You know. So and then when Doug came back and wrote the foreword to the book, which is hugely powerful, it's a treat to read this and to just sink yourself into it. And even if you just read two paragraphs of this book, you would receive this energy. And I know it will have some kind of healing, I don't want to say power, but just a healing, opening to healing in some way, at some level, for every individual. So I am so happy that you allowed me to come on the show today and talk a little bit about the book and some of the ideas behind it. So look forward to hearing from the readers and seeing what they think.
Ah, wonderful. Well, you know, I know we had thought that we would talk a little bit about the birthing of the book, and we have about 5 minutes ago. But it's just, I mean, the way the conversation kept flowing, I resisted a few, you know, first I was going to resist some of the questions, but I thought, no, that's where it's going. Like, just follow it. Is there anything that you want to say about, I mean, we have about 5 minutes left. Is there anything that you want to say about the birthing of a book? Because I think that having been, you know, that I am a writer, and I know that feeling of what happens in the writing process of something. So do you have anything that you'd like to share?
I think I would like to tell people that no matter what project you take on, whether it's a book or your personal growth or spiritual transformation or learning how to knit, whatever, even healing, releasing your suffering, whatever it is in your life, the one thing they tell you and teach you in India is the journey begins where you are, not where you want to be. The journey begins where you are, not where you want to be. And for me, I'm such a high achiever. Always want to move to step 10 before 1, and because patience is not my strong suit, right, like most people. But with anything, personal spiritual growth just takes a lot of time, and you can't be anywhere than where you are right now. We have to slow down. We have to digest, you know. I think that's a big part of the creative process. We can't just output without digesting something first. And to take time in between that whole process, to take some pleasure in some simple things, because we can't be anywhere than where we are in this most powerful present moment. I mean, that is such a huge lesson. It was a huge lesson for me in writing the book and living this material. We have to indulge ourselves in grief and joy and pain and anger or whatever life is offering us, and to stay centered and know that we can move through something quickly, you know, and efficiently. So whether it's writing a book or just living life, we just need to accept that God is showing us something important, and we just need to pay attention and to just be fully present at whatever life is offering us and inhale that. And I think once we do, as writers or mothers or teachers, it's just going to be so powerful when it comes out of us. It's totally, for me anyway, it's a step towards personal transformation and spiritual growth, but it's also part of everyone's spiritual growth too, because we can't do it alone, right? We're all helping to uplift each other.
Absolutely. And there is time that you do spend alone. I mean, it, to me, connected with spirit and everything. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do any of the connecting with people, you're missing a big part of the journey.
You have to get out of your chair.
Right.
We have to go seek forth. We can't be introverts. We need to go out into the world somehow. For writers, that's always a challenge, you know. We kind of feel safe in our little realm, our little cave, our woman caves that are around our computers. But we have to get out and do, too, because it's not just being, it's about doing, and that's all about balance. So. But thanks for asking that question. That's kind of my mantra right now. The journey begins where you are, not where you want to be. You can't be anywhere than where you are right now, so you have to be in it. I mean, to me, that's just, oh, God, that changed my life when I really got that, you know.
Yeah.
Quit leaping around like lords of leaping and stay where you are right now in your journey and look at that piece and embrace it, whether that's good or bad. It's all life.
Well, I know that is one of the 12 principles for becoming a divine human that you have in your book that you explore. And I just want to remind everyone that the book is called The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. And that I look forward to reading it. I have little snippets here, but I don't have the whole book yet. So I look forward to that. And I encourage everyone to go to charleneproctor.com and explore and click around and see what's there. You have been so busy since I've seen you last. I've checked your website every once in a while, but I was just checking it in the last week and thought, wow.
Well, you got to go and just see me in these fancy ballroom dancing costumes.
I mean, that's a
whole lot of entertainment right there.
I know. I love that.
Yeah,
I learned how to
Latin dance. I know. I can really shake it down now.
It's fun. All right. Well, Charlene, when you've completed your book launch, and I'm back, because I'm going to be in Baltimore for the month of April, and then when I come back to the West Coast, I want to have a longer conversation with you.
Okay.
and just catch up on what's happening. It's been such an honor and a blessing to have you here on the show today. Is there one final thing you'd like to say to the audience today to help them change the way they live? I mean, I loved what you were just sharing, but I will give you the last word here.
To be here now. To be, just be here now. And to just always hold in your conscious awareness that you want to raise your vibration to the highest level, and to be open to receiving this wisdom from the divine, you know, in your body, mind, and heart and soul. Just be open to the download from the matrix that is there for us all the time, 24/7. Be open, open, open to it. And to be fully present. Be present, you know. Get off texts and emails a little bit, and just to be fully present with whatever life is sharing with you. If we all did that, I think the world would be so much different. So that's one of my big messages of the day. Be here now. I'm getting out my ruler. I'm going to start banging on the table. Be here now.
Oh, I love it. I've got it. All right.
Thanks.
Well, I will talk with you soon, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Lots of love.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.